Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day. You know, it wouldn't be possible for me to adequately express how thankful I am for my wife and so many other godly women in this church who love Jesus so well and help others to love and follow Jesus. You know, just like so many families would crumble without you, this church would fall apart without you. I've asked something similar to this before, but I wanted to do something this morning by a show of hands. How many people in here would say that your mother or your grandmother or some other just really godly woman that you know played an instrumental role in you putting your faith in Jesus? Just raise your hand and keep it up high. Just look around the room for a minute. I think we undervalue sometimes just the reality, and you can put your hands on it. You know, when we look at the Bible, when we look at human history, when we look at our history in this church, those things are full of examples of how vital moms and grandmothers and other godly women have been, not just in individual lives, but in the life of the church. That's the truth. That's the reality. If you're one of those godly women, thank you. Thank you. Because the roles that God has chosen you for, the roles that God has used you in, are beyond valuable. They are incredibly necessary for our church and for our lives. You know, when we look through the book of Jude, we've been going through this letter, we see the importance of knowing the truth, right? And recognizing false teaching. And of course, when we think of that, when we think, okay, I need to know the truth and I need to recognize false teaching so I'm not deceived, we obviously recognize the importance of godly leadership in the church for doing this, but also we recognize the importance of godly leadership in the home for doing this. We recognize and see the importance of godly leadership in personal discipleship relationships, which so often is what it comes down to. So often it is those individual relationships that help keep us on the right path, walking with God according to His Word and recognizing when something is false and could lead us astray. And so in order to contend for the faith, we must know what is true and what is false. What is the faith for which we contend? And so for that reason, so far as we've gone through this letter, we've discussed the who and the what of Christianity. We talked about the battle for the faith when looking at the purpose of this letter. We've talked about examples of judgment and how do we avoid that judgment. We saw the characteristics of heretics and our need to recognize and rebuke heresy, which is any false teaching that would contradict the clear teachings of the Word of God. And we talked last week about the future of heretics and how your future can and should and will be different if you are in Christ. So today I want to talk about endurance in the faith. In this call to contend for the faith here in Jude, we should see how we can and should endure in and through our triune God and with and alongside one another. And so endurance in the faith. Instead of believing and following false teaching, know the truth and live accordingly. That's the call of this letter. Here is how you can contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. In other words, we've gone through these first 19 verses and we've seen, okay, these are all these examples of what not to do. These are these examples of this false teaching that's leading people astray and what these false teachers do. So rather than doing that, here is how you can endure. So if you have your Bibles, read with me. We're going to begin in verse 20 and read these four verses here as we think about endurance in the faith. He says, "But you, dear friends..." So not like the false teachers, but you, dear friends, building up yourselves in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, expecting the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. Having mercy on some who doubt, save others by snatching them from the fire. On others, have mercy in fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Father, we pray for your help this morning because we know that all of us need help. We need your help first and foremost, and we need help in the body of Christ to stay on the path that your word clearly calls us to stay on, to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. So we pray for your help to depend on our amazing triune God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, whom apart from we can do nothing good. And so we pray that you would direct our steps, that you would convict our hearts, that you would shape and mold our minds. And Father, that just as we saw in that testimony video, that you would rearrange something inside of us, knowing that that's a work of your Spirit. So we thank you for that. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. my purpose in the message this morning is that biblical faithfulness and endurance will be top priorities for you. Otherwise, we can't walk with Jesus if these aren't top priorities. We certainly can't help others walk with Jesus. We can't contend for the faith from, apart from biblical faithfulness, apart from endurance being top priorities in our everyday lives. Jesus said again and again in the Gospels, the one who endures to the end will be saved. Now, not because you don't endure, you're not saved because you endure. Let's be clear about that. When he says the one who endures to the end will be saved, you're not earning your salvation by enduring, but rather you endure because you are saved. You are changed by the grace of God, and so you endure. As our brother in the video said, something inside of you is rearranged by the Holy Spirit at work in your life, and so you endure. You have a new heart in Christ, and so biblical faithfulness and endurance are top priorities in your life, evidence that you have come to know and follow Jesus. And so from this deep exhortation, these last few verses we just read, I want you to notice two necessities of Christian endurance. How can we endure in the faith for which we are to contend? How can we know we're enduring? Endure in Christ. Contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. So the first necessity of Christian endurance is to depend on the Lord. And you say, well, duh, right? Duh, Captain Obvious again. But how often do we try to live the life that we're called to live without depending on the Lord? Right? I mean, it's impossible, so don't try. And yet so often we do. But we need to depend on the Lord. He is our triune God, as is so clear and obvious in verses 20 and 21. He is our triune God, and he is worthy of our faith. He is worthy of our dependence. We have nothing without him. And so we build ourselves up. We build up one another. Building yourselves up. This is a corporate call in our lives to build up each other in and through him. We certainly can't do this without him, as we'll see more clearly throughout the next few verses. But this holy faith that he's talking about here, this is not some generic faith. This isn't just any faith, right? It's not a faith in ourselves. It's not a faith in some false god. It's not a faith in some temporary treasure. No, this is gospel faith, that we are to contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. That is the faith that is according to his word. And so you see here what we are to what? We're to pray in the Spirit. If you know the Lord, then you have his Holy Spirit. And so you have life. You're different, as we discussed last week from verse 19, right before we read today, we saw this difference that happens when you're in Christ and you receive his Spirit. We talked last week about Romans 8, which talks about this again and again, that if you have the Spirit, you have life. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have life. And so if you've trusted in Jesus, you receive his Spirit, and something is different. You're not alone if you're in Christ. You're never alone. And so look to the Lord, he says, and pray in the Holy Spirit. This means to pray for God's will to be done. It means walking closely with the Lord. It means, because he never leaves you, he never forsakes you. If you're in Christ, then you have his Holy Spirit, and that's how he never leaves you. Don't be fooled in the false teaching that this is talking about some sort of speaking in tongues that no one can understand. Tongues without an interpreter are unacceptable. They have no place. They have zero biblical support. In fact, they are called out by Paul when people speak in tongues without an interpreter. It's just putting on a show. And so that's not what this is talking about. Instead, we see, like in Ephesians 6, we see with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. To depend on the Lord, pray in the Spirit. Pray as you seek him and you depend on him and you pray for his will to be done. Romans 8, again, is a great, if we had time, we'd just read the whole chapter of Romans 8 and it would summarize all this really well for us. So if you're confused at what this is talking about, there's your homework for this week. Read Romans chapter 8. Okay? The second thing I want you to notice then, if we think about depending on the Lord, is we trust in him. We trust in God. Look, we all know this. We need to remind ourselves, though, often, don't we? We need to trust God. We need to preach the gospel to ourselves often. We need to celebrate the love of God and be challenged and encouraged in this truth. God never fails. So trust in God. And so what does he say here? He says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Know the truth of who he is and what he has done for you and what he continues to do for you. Press on. Endure. This is that endurance we're talking about. Stay close to him because he loves you. And his love changes you. So keep yourselves in his love. Stay close to him. Trust in him. Depend on him. To depend on our triune Lord, pray in the Holy Spirit, trust in God. Thirdly, then, believe in Jesus. Expect his mercy and grace for salvation. He is worthy. He delivers all who turn to him. Believe in the Jesus of the Bible. Contend for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. Again, verse 3 of this letter. This isn't possible apart from Jesus. Because remember, notice just before this, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God. But do you remember who's the one who keeps us? It's Jesus. We can't keep ourselves in God's love if we're not kept by Jesus Christ, according to verse 2. So he keeps us, and therefore we keep ourselves in the love. In other words, we endure by depending on the Lord through Christ, who is the one who keeps us. So there's responsibility on our end, but it's all ultimately it's him who does the work. He does the hard work. We simply trust and depend on him. So you believe in him, and then if you believe in him, what does that mean then? You can expect the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ for eternal life. You can and should have assurance as you grow in him and you continue to follow him, as you endure in him. And so believe in Jesus. Believe in Jesus as Master and Lord. Remember, that was the main thing that was leading the false teachers astray and what they were doing to lead others astray. They had denied their only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. So we believe in our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. We expect his mercy for eternal life. Kids, what was the lesson about this morning in family groups? Isabella? Yeah, Jesus was in the temple and he got really mad. Why? Why did he get really mad, George? Yeah, they were making it basically a place to gain for themselves, right? Yeah, Knox? Yeah, they were. That's right. He said, "This is my Father's house," and so he wanted it to be. It's a house of prayer, a house of worship, a house of honoring the Lord. And they were making it about themselves and what they could gain from it. And so Jesus comes in and he cleared the temple. He cleansed the temple. Okay. Now we know that Jesus is the better temple. Right, he is the better temple, as we see in what he explained about himself and what he was going to do. And even as we look throughout Hebrews, we see this over and over again. Jesus is the better temple, and so he can demand a better sacrifice. A better sacrifice than we can do in our own minds. He demands a better sacrifice. He is the ultimate and the final sacrifice. He has all authority, and so he is worthy of our trust and of our obedience. He is perfect. He is holy. His promises never fail. And so we can expect his mercy for eternal life because he's the one that secured it. He's the one who keeps us in that love that we are to keep ourselves in. He does it. He does the work. And so we can expect his mercy for eternal life if we are in him. Are you in him? Is he in you so that you can expect such a promise. To endure in the faith, don't rely on yourself. Depend on the Lord. But also, it's not just that we depend on the Lord. We also need to look out for others. Do not doubt for one moment that we need one another for endurance. Don't believe the false teaching, that the heresy that would say, you know what, you can follow Jesus apart from being involved in a church. The New Testament just doesn't know of any such idea. God doesn't have a plan B. The church is his plan for our endurance. The church is his plan for the advancement of the gospel. We need one another. We should love and care for one another in Christ. The Christian life is not just about you and your endurance. Your life, your Christian life is not just about you and your endurance. It's about us. It's about others. And so, as we see here, have mercy. In order to look out for others, we need to have mercy. You've received mercy in Christ, so extend such mercy to others. One of the clear evidences someone has received that mercy, one of the clear evidences someone has experienced this salvation that we're talking about, is that there's a desire, a growing desire, to extend that mercy to others, to love others and long for their salvation, as we see here, to forgive others, to not hold on to bitterness and grudges. Have mercy. I mean, what Isn't that a great word for Mother's Day? As so often this is modeled so well by moms and grandmothers and other godly women in our church. You know, we can learn a lot so often by the way that they have mercy on us and on those around us. Have mercy. Paul brought this out really well near the end of his letter to the Romans in chapter 15 when he said, "Now we who are strong," talking about spiritual strength, those of us who are in Christ and growing in Christ, "we have an obligation to bear the weaknesses of those without strength," those who are immature, right? Not to please ourselves. And then he says in verse 2, "each one of us must please his neighbor for his good in order to build him up." Doesn't this sound similar to what Jude is encouraging us here near the end of his letter? Build one another up in the faith. That's one of the keys in contending for the faith that was delivered to the saints once for all. It's to build one another up. We do this together. And so he says in verse 1 again, bear the weaknesses of those without strength. This is our obligation when we know and follow Jesus, not to please ourselves. You remember how different this is than the false teachers? You remember Jude in verse 12? In verse 12, he says, so here he's talking about false teachers. These false teachers, these heretics, these ones that are leading people astray, they're the ones who are like dangerous reefs at your love feast. They feast with you, nurturing only themselves without fear. They are waterless clouds carried along by winds, trees in late autumn, fruitless, twice dead, pulled out by the roots. So you see the difference between what we see in Romans 15, what we see in Jude verses 22 and 23, and then what we see here in verse 12. Look at just a few verses later in verse 16. Again, still talking about these false teachers. These people are discontented grumblers, walking according to their desires. Their mouths utter arrogant words, flattering people for what? For their own advantage. Right? There's a big difference between people who have received mercy by turning to Jesus, and those who have not received mercy because they have not sincerely trusted in Jesus. If you receive mercy, then you have mercy on some who doubt. That's what we see here in verse 22. Does this describe you? Even if you struggle, because as sinners, we all struggle, so none of us is perfect in our mercy. But is this something that you desire? Is this something that you pray for? Is this something that you know you need? Is this something you see yourself growing in? When you fall short and not having mercy as you should, is there conviction there? Look out for others by having mercy. Also, though, look out for others by living the truth. Live the truth. Know the truth and live accordingly. Don't be deceived by heresy. And do what you can to protect others from heresy. Hate false teaching and help people to follow Jesus. See, what better way to have mercy on someone than to help them know and follow the one, the only one who is perfect in mercy? His name is Jesus. Right? So you look at verse 23 again. He says, "Save others by snatching them from the fire. On others have mercy and fear, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh." This requires that we live by the truth. Otherwise, how can we know the fire from which we're trying to save people from? You got to know the truth to know the fire. How can we know how to rescue them if we don't live by truth? How can we know how to tell them? How can we know how to help them if we don't live by truth? Do you long to save others by snatching them from the fire? Danny Aiken challenges us well when he said, "If we do not care if people are saved, we might as also well consider whether we are saved." Such a desire is necessary proof that you know and follow Jesus. You desire for others to know and follow Jesus. Hell is real. And one day everyone will believe and know that hell is real. Let us live by truth and help people to know and believe before it's too late. You have mercy and fear when you live by the truth. You see the balance here? He says mercy in fear. You see, it's not turning a blind eye to sin. To have mercy doesn't mean we just ignore sin. That would be mercy without fear. But rather, it's loving people enough to say hard things, to help them get on track. like we talked about last week, to rebuke, to recognize and rebuke heresy. That's to have mercy in fear of God. Right? So having mercy on others without fear of God, in other words, if we just ignore sinful struggles without accountability, without any sort of encouragement to walk with Christ, mercy without fear is cowardly, it is prideful, it is disobedient to God's calling on our lives. And on the flip side of that, claiming to fear God but not having mercy, well, that's judgmental, that can be unloving, that's unhelpful. And so we have mercy in fear. And so what does he say then? You hate even the garment defiled by the flesh. How do you do this? By living the truth. Based on the context of this letter, Jude was probably talking here specifically about sexual sin, the false teachers who were living this way. Remember, they were acting like they were walking with God, but they were living in sexual sin. Anything close to the sinner is contaminated and it's defiled. So he says, hate even a garment defiled by the flesh. Hate that false teaching. Hate anything that goes against the word of God. Despise it. Turn away from it. It's disgusting. Right, so regardless of the specific sin here, though, really, if you look at this, this applies to all sin. Despise sin and flee from it. That's what we see here. Look out for yourself and for others through your words and through your actions. And consider false teachers. So he says, notice he said, we should have mercy on those who doubt, verse 22. So we want to show mercy on our brothers and sisters who are struggling. We want to love them. We want to walk alongside them. Have mercy. You were there once. We've all been there. You have struggles. And so we have mercy on those who doubt. Romans 15, we build one another up. When somebody's weak, we're there for them. We help them. But then he goes on and he says in verse 23, to have mercy on some with fear. And I think he's talking here about the false teachers. And so we still want to have mercy. When you think of false teachers, love them, have mercy on them, but don't get too close. Contend for the faith. Despise, hate, even the garment defiled by the flesh. We don't want anything to do with that false teaching. I don't want that. I want to get away from that. I want to know the truth. I want to live by the truth. None of this is possible apart from the truth of God's word. There is a fear of God in this. There is a fear associated with this posture. Have mercy in fear. And when you do that, when you have mercy in fear, that's going to lead to you hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. The closer we are to Jesus, the more we are disgusted by sin and heresy. Again, this is in strong contrast to those who are not living by the truth. Verse 12, nurturing only themselves without fear. We are to have mercy in fear, but those who are creating this garment defiled by the flesh, those who are teaching false things that are leading people astray, they're nurturing only themselves without fear. They don't fear God. They're just looking out for themselves. Don't follow the way of heretics. Live by the truth. Remember, I said my purpose today is that you would be prioritizing, your top priorities would be biblical faithfulness and endurance. Because everything else we do, if we're prioritizing being faithful to the Word of God and enduring in that faith, then we're going to be the best husbands, the best wives, the best parents, the best workers, the best classmates, the best teammates, the best friends. We're going to be the people God has created us to be when we prioritize faithfulness to the Word of God and enduring in that faith. Please be challenged right now. Examine your own heart. Is your faith in Jesus Christ your top priority in your life? Are you living that faith out in your everyday life? Do you sincerely desire biblical faithfulness? Do you believe that you will endure? After the service this morning, Pastor Red is going to be standing up here. He's going to have a bag of these bracelets. And then Pastors Scott and Dennis are going to be out in the lobby, and they're also going to have some of these bracelets, these three circles bracelets. And these are a tool. These are a resource for you to take with you this week. And I want to challenge you to take one and pray for specific opportunities to share your testimony and share the gospel with an unbeliever this week. And so this is just a way for you to say, hey, can I show you something? I want to tell you about something really quick. I want to show you this cool bracelet I got on Sunday. Can I tell you what it's about? And it'll open the door for you. Or maybe somebody will ask you, hey, what's that bracelet you got on there? What's that for? And so I just want to challenge you to use it this week. But in order to do that, in order to do it as we would be called to do it according to the word, you have to know the gospel. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our salvation, for everyone who repents and believes. You have to know the gospel. But you also have to believe the gospel. You have to believe that it's true. You have to have experienced it for yourself. And you have to proclaim the gospel because that's God's call in our lives. So we talk about the fact that our passion is the gospel, our church is our family, our world is our mission. And so I just want you to be challenged this morning. What's the next step that you need to take in that journey of your faith? We have a little banner outside right by the drinking fountain. It says, what's your next step of faith? And it kind of breaks it down. If we say our passion is the gospel, and we think of disciples of Jesus who have embraced the gospel, are you there yet? Have you believed the gospel? Have you repented of your sins and put your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you been baptized as a public profession of that faith? And then it talks about family and the involvement in church and what's the next step you can take there. And then it talks about mission and living our life on mission and what's the next step there. So I just want to challenge you this morning because none of us is where we need to be. So what's the next step you need to take in your walk with Christ? If you're here this morning and you're going to take one of these bracelets, I'm just going to share with you how you can share this good news with others. But more importantly, if you're here this morning and you haven't yet received Christ as your Savior, if you haven't yet put your faith in Him, if you haven't yet experienced that mercy, and therefore you have no desire to show that mercy to others, but right now God is working on your heart and you know you are being called to surrender yourself to Him, please hear this morning. If nothing else, hear this. Hear and know this, because there's no other way for us to have eternal life than through Jesus Christ. Maybe you've been coming here for years. Maybe you've been going through the motions. Maybe you say, I've always believed. I don't ever remember a time when I didn't believe in Jesus, but I didn't become a Christian until I was 20 years old. Maybe you're like I was. Maybe you've been going through the motions. You've professed the right things, but deep down in your heart, you know something's missing. Because please realize that God's design, His plan alone for your life is what is perfect. Not my plan, not your plan, His plan. But we know the sad reality is that we all sin. We all sin and we all fall short of His perfection. And that sin leads to brokenness. The brokenness that would make it impossible for us to endure. We can't endure by ourselves because of our brokenness. And so we sin and we stray away from God's plan. And instead of enduring in the faith, instead of enduring in the perfect design that God has for our lives, we start to go in all these wrong directions. And there's only one thing that can fix our brokenness, only one thing that can make things right, and that's the good news of the gospel, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He took our place. He took our judgment and wrath on Himself on the cross when He died for us. And then on the third day, He rose from the dead. He defeated sin and death forever. So that everyone, the Bible says, everyone who repents and believes, who turns away from sin to Christ and trusts in Him alone for salvation, everyone who does that receives eternal life. They're saved from their brokenness now and their brokenness for eternity. Now, we know the reality is we're still broken. We're not where we need to be yet. But that's when we begin to recover and pursue that perfect plan and purpose that God has for our lives. We know we're going to endure. We know that we can expect the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ because of what He's done for us. And because of the change that He's done, that rearranging that He did inside of us. We know that we can endure because of who He is, because of what He has done, and because of what He continues to do. So if you haven't yet experienced that mercy yet, if you can't expect His mercy when He comes again, please call on His name today. Father God, that is our prayer, that we would know and follow Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. The only one who is the final and perfect sacrifice. The only one who can make us right with You. The only one who can take away our sins and give us eternal life. Father, I want to pray this morning for those here who haven't yet made that decision to trust in Jesus. Please, God, give them the decision, that desire this morning, that conviction. Right now, maybe there's hearts in this room that you're working on, that you're convicting, that you're burdening, and they know they need to respond. Father, please let them not leave this room this morning until they turn to You and call on Your name. Please give them that desire, that willingness, that boldness to tell the world that I want to walk with Jesus, and that obedience to then be baptized as a public profession of that faith. But Father, help all of us to desire with all of our hearts to trust and depend on You and to walk alongside others, to have mercy, to live by truth, so that we can live according to your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.